بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. The subject of this talk is about generally women in Islam, and particularly women working or working for women. The meaning of our life on earth must have come to the thinking of many men and women as well, a matter focusing upon the purpose of our existence. This comes to those who ponder and those who think and contemplate, but the dead, they have hearts, but they don't contemplate. Our existence on earth has a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, has clearly stated that, and He is the all-perfect, all-knowledgeable, all-wise. He, the Most High, said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Surah Al-Dariyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, I have not created jinn and mankind except for the sole purpose of worshipping me alone. But the term worship needs to be understood clearly. In general, it simply refers to living this life in accordance with the way that is pleasing to the one who created us. And this cannot be attained except by fulfilling what is obligated upon us and abstaining from that which is harmful. So therefore, this sole purpose for which we are created is for the benefit of mankind. Living this life in sayings and in actions, at homes and outside homes. Everything regarding this life until the day of resurrection has been explained in the textual proofs from the Quran and from the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There are certain regulations set by Islam, fit for every time and every place. That's because Allah, the Creator, knows man and knows everything that he needs in his life until the day of resurrection. So So everything that is good for man has been stated by Allah and by His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And everything that is harmful also has been stated as well by Allah and by His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who comply will live a good and useful and beneficial and fruitful life. Even at tough times and hard times and at times of afflictions and at times of hardships. That is because they know that with patience and perseverance and anticipating their reward, they will be at peace within their hearts, and they will be content even under such hardships. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى in Surah Al-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 97. In chapter 16, verse 97. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Whoever works righteousness, whether male or female, while he or she is a true believer, in Allah and in singling Him alone in worship, verily to Him we will give a good life in this world with respect, contentment, and lawful provision, and we shall pay them certainly a reward in proportion to the best of what they used to do, that is paradise in the hereafter. This righteous and good life of content and respect cannot be attained except for those who respond to the call of Allah and to His Messenger. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 8, verse 24. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم واعلموا أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه وأنه إليه تحشرون. Oh, you believe, answer Allah by obeying Him and His Messenger when He صلى الله عليه وسلم calls you to that which will give you life. See that? Oh, you believe, answer Allah by obeying Him and His Messenger when He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calls you to that which He will give you life. And know that Allah comes in between a person and his heart. And verily to Him you shall all be gathered. Now contemplating this verse, all who you believe, answer Allah by obeying Him and His Messenger when He calls you to that which will give you life. This kind of life is rendering their affairs in this life and in the hereafter, rendering it to be good and beneficial. And from that also is their good mention in this life and in the hereafter. And from that also is the continuous bliss in the hereafter. This is the true life. When the person responds to Allah, to the call of Allah and to the call of His Messenger. And if he does not, then he will be responding to his or her own desires. So therefore, to every woman who has accepted Allah as her Lord and submitted to Him and to His Deen of Islam and followed His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to every mother and to every sister, these are some important reminders concerning the role of the Muslim woman. The Muslim woman knows well that the matters which Allah decreed are, and which are specific to women, are for her own benefit. And this is not therefore a matter to choose from and pick, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 36. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَا يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. It is not for a believer, man or woman, when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, that they should have any option in their decision. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed strayed in a plain error. So the Muslim woman, and also the Muslim man, they don't see for themselves an opinion, nor the freedom to choose and pick from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, or His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has decreed. That is because no Islam can be established without the yielding and submission to the decrees of Allah and or His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This covers all matters of life, not only in relevance to the legal matters known as matters of worship, but rather the entire deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is meant to regulate the human life. All of their matters of this life are regulated. From that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regulated everything in accordance with the nature of those receiving it from the creation, to fit the nature of man, whether he is a man or a woman. So Allah created the male and the female and characterized each with certain characteristics in terms of their abilities, in terms of their nature of creation, in terms of the tasks upon them. There are matters of resemblance, and there are matters in terms of the regulations, and there are matters that are distinct for each one of them. This is based upon the knowledge of Allah and His wisdom. It's not something arbitrary. قال الله تعالى إن سورة الملك 76 verse 14. ألا يعلم من خلق وهو اللطيف الخبير. In Surah Al-Mulk, verse 14. 67. ألا يعلم من خلق وهو اللطيف الخبير. Should not he who has created know, and he is the most kind and courteous to the slaves, all aware of everything. Isn't he the one who created man, male or female, on their forms and natures? And isn't he the one who distinguished them when he said in Surah Al-An'am 336, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And the male is not like the female, and the male is not like the female. And here there is a delicate point of benefit in this verse. Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentioned regarding this verse, and the male is not like the female, meaning in strength and perseverance in worship and in the service to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. Why? That is because Imra'atu Imran, the wife of Imran, made a vow to make her expected birth to be pure service, to worship and to serve, to worship Allah and to serve Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. And she certainly did not know what's in her womb, male or female. So when the baby came as a female, when the baby came a female, she said what Allah told us in His book, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, and the male is not like the female. From this, therefore, we will focus, given the distinction now, we will focus upon the natural and legal role of women versus the forced and deceivingly beautiful role. First, the great role and the great task, the task of distinction and most honorable task, is illustrated in the following verse, in the following hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the agreed upon hadith, كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل على محمد. اللهم بارك على محمد. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة. In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, all of you are guardians and responsible for your words. And the things under your care. The Imam, meaning the ruler, is the guardian of his subjects and is responsible for them. And a man is the guardian of his family and is responsible for them. A woman is the guardian of her husband's house and his children and is responsible for it. This is an agreed upon hadith, and it's in Bukhari, volume 2, book 13, number 18. This is the wording of Imam Bukhari. It's also in Sahih Muslim. So this is the origin, the care, or the core and the crux of the society, the family, the children. A matter which naturally is related to the benefit of the society. The other task. This is an occurrence versus the original. This is the task which forces the woman to leave her kingdom and her dominion, to carry on that which is not in her capacity, competing with men in their works and in their circles, taking them as colleagues, chatting, and having seclusions, which leads to the abuse of her original and natural inclination and render her vulnerable to the temptations of shaitan and the self which incites evil. All beautified to her in the name of freedom and equality. This deviation from the original task led, or was a major cause in the destruction and tearing of nations of the past, and in the spread of diseases which people never saw the like of, as occurred to the Greeks and to the Romans and to the Persians. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاء. Fear this worldly life. And so take also protection concerning women. That is because the first fitna, affliction, that occurred to the children of Israel was in women, meaning the fitna of women. That is because the woman is half the nation, and she gives birth to the other half, so she is the ummah at large. Hence, her uprightness and her family's uprightness is an uprightness to the entire ummah. From the consequences of this forced drive in the name of freedom and equality, is the loss of the nature of woman, the natural nature, the beautification she has to put on latest models in order to compete and quote be accepted and quote be attracted, and the nakedness she has to put on with valid degrees, ending up spending most of her salary, if not all, so that she looks, quote, attractive, end of quote. This takes her away from the obligations at home and raising the children, which also leads to her divorce and or separation. And also this could lead to the destruction of her family and loss of her children due to the unlawful relations which may be discovered and she commits outside home. The loss of the emotion and care which leads to the deviation of the children and inclination to crime. So under these situations, you see her, quote, a servant in a restaurant, fulfilling the orders of those, quote, customers, a flight attendant, torn into pieces by the eyes of men, following her moves. She is requested to have perfect work, smiling to the travelers, carrying their bags sometimes. Some of the luggage could be the same as her weight. She is requested to prepare the tea and the coffee and expose herself to variant degrees of strangeness by the travelers. And she is requested to drive the cart and serve the meals and collect the dishes, standing up, going down, and carrying the cart with newspapers and flight sales. And she is requested to stay alert for any emergency. And she is to be a sales representative, not able to be to prevent the abuse of her nature, trying to in any way carry the customer to buy the merchandise and sign the contract, going from office to office, meeting the VIPs and CEOs, and from state to state, country to country, without a mahram, waking up at 5:30, returning, Allah knows best. And they took her all to be a secretary under the command of the boss, working his papers, his schedules, having seclusion with him if he intends, in his office or outside his office, under the pretext of business affairs and welfare of the business. And there she is as a nurse, nursing males, mixing with them and with doctors, with seclusions, during the terms and outside the terms. And there she is, an employee amongst men, competing with the tens of them around her, greeting them with smiles, leaving with smiles, welcome greetings, kind words, flirting, When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, لا يخلون رجل بمرأة إلا ومعها ذو محرم. No man shall be in seclusion with a woman except when there is a mahram. And a mahram, he is the husband or a man with whom she cannot marry at all. And no man, when he is in seclusion with a woman, except that the shaitan is the third, as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith. So now, she is now under all these sorts of pressures. And I'm not going to talk about statistics in terms of treason in relationships, only to remind that it is above 50% in some societies, men and women cheating. That's why in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set that the origin and the abode is to settle at home, and that man to be the provider and the sustainer, the caretaker and the guardian. And that's why we see when societies oppose the origin upon which Allah has made for their own benefit, we see vividly and clearly the terrible consequences, the social, economical and all fronts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. In Surah Al-Ahzab 33 verse 33, وَقَرْنَ فِي بِيُوتِكُنَّ, and stay in your houses, which means stay there and don't go out except when there is a need. And the need is estimated. Even if she needs to go, then that also has to be in accordance with certain manners and certain etiquettes, which preserve her. Even if she has to go to one of the houses, of the houses of Allah, the mosques. So therefore, what is intended in this verse is to preserve the woman and stay in your houses. It does not mean solitary confinement at home, or that this is a traditional matter that belongs to a certain society. In fact, there are 4 verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala added the houses to the woman. Here it says, and stay in your houses. Although we know that at large, in general, the houses are under the possession of the husbands or their guardians. They possess them in general. But the term houses has been added to the woman in the context as a way of considering the continuity to settle there. Not an addition of possession. These verses are this verse in front of us on the screen. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ 33:33, and also in 33:34, the next verse. وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. mention what's recited or reminded in your homes from the verses of Allah and wisdom, meaning the Sunnah. Now, and also in Surah At-Talaq, chapter 65, verse 1, لا تخرجوهن من بيوتهن. Don't drive them out of their homes. See, added homes to them. Also, in Surah Yusuf, chapter 12, verse 23, concerning the wife of the ruler of Egypt, when she attempted to seduce Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah said, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. And she in whose house he was, sought to seduce him to do an evil act. The Prophet ﷺ's wives, they used to go out for their needs. And they may have gone also out, for some social visits, either to the neighbors or to special weddings or so forth. But all of that was with chastity and bashfulness. In fact, the believing woman concerned and loved to learn knowledge, to learn the knowledge of the Kitab and the Sunnah, they used to ask for a special or particular day to come and learn from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he answered for their request. However, the origin of the matter is the settlement at home. This is not the exception, as it is now in our times. The norm has changed into, the exception has changed rather into the norm. Now, if the woman has no guardian, no one to support her, then it is the duty of the Muslim society at large and the Muslim community in particular at a certain place to suffice her needs. But if this does not exist, then seeking employment or work, either by her own hand production, or if she needs to go out for that, then that has to be dealt with in accordance with the necessity and the preservation of the self as well, and the home also. There are regulations therefore. So I repeat and emphasize that the origin and the settlement is home. This settlement in home is not just for mere cooking, washing, cleaning. This is not the sole objective, but to care for the needs of the children, the rights of the husband, the management of the house, a fitting place for the family, and that she can be in a place which preserves her from fitna. And for her, in the cases where no one to provide for her, and no Muslim community to suffice her, and there is no way for and there is no way for her to produce at home by her own works, by her own hands. Assuming all of this is non-existent, and she needs to suffice her need in a lawful way outside the home, then this work she seeks must be fitting with her physical and psychological state, and that the place where she works must be safe, and the time must be fitting, and the manner must be dignifying, so she avoids the mixing and unlawful seclusions and abuse of her femininity, and she tries to avoid the timing of work which opposes her home responsibility. So therefore, if there is a Muslim institute that employs a Muslim woman, then this institute or this factory or this foundation, you name it, must also take in consideration the natural excuses, the legal excuses for the woman, like her natural menses, pregnancy, postnatal state, breastfeeding, and so forth. Also, she needs also to consider posts that are beneficial to the society, so that she doesn't end up spending her energy and time in that and compromising her home needs for something which is not beneficial. In order now for her to carry on or seek this kind of employment, she must not forget that she needs the approval of the guardian, whether a father or a husband, if he is unable to provide for a legal excuse and she is not able to produce at home. And also, secondly, she should ascribe to the legal manners of the code of dress when she goes out. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Ahzab 33:59, يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن ذلك أدنى أن يعرفن فلا يؤذين وكان الله غفورا رحيما. O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers to draw their cloaks all over their bodies. That will be better, that they should be known as respectful women, free respectful women, so as not to be annoyed. As to the conditions of this hijab, then it must accommodate the entire body of the woman. It must not be in itself a beautification. It must not be transparent. It must be loose, roomy, not tight. It must not be perfumed. It must not resemble the clothes of women, of men. And it must not resemble the clothes of the disbelieving woman. And it must not be a kind of dress that is of the fame type. These are matters related to her dress. And also, she must avoid unnecessary talk with men who are not mahram to her. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Ahzab 33-32, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Then be not soft in speech, lest he in whose heart is a disease of hypocrisy or evil desire for adultery, etc., should be moved with this desire. But speak in an honorable and dignified manner. Some people, when you mention to them the Islamic regulations that are meant to be for the benefit of man and woman, they don't take them seriously. But they listen normally to quote the experiences and the statements of certain sources of media or authors or books or newspapers or experiences of societies and so forth. So even if we take that from the experiences that these people respect and they feel comfortable towards, sufficient then to know that the status of the woman in these societies is that they are under tremendous pressures. Because the main target is, quote, to make it. The main target is the materialistic aspect. And the main also objective is to attain this so-called freedom. What did this lead to? This led to complete annihilation of any distinction between men and women. Open call for any kind of sexual relations and assisting on that. Encouraging women not to carry any kind of domestic responsibility in the name that these works are not rewarded. There is no material gain. This led also to the call for respecting the rights code of the adulterers and the adulteress and the homosexuals, and marriage between men and men, woman and woman. Consequently, many, many clinics are opened in order to deal with the psychological illnesses produced by these pressures and these practices. And anyone with a sound intellect knows that in these societies, the woman is to exert tremendous effort in order to find the food, to find the money so that she can eat and drink. Because when she is at 18, she is requested to spend upon herself or share in carrying the responsibilities, the financial responsibilities, if they want to stay at home. So, young, split between the emotions of childhood and the push of adolescence, drive, at times when she is in most need for the care of both parents, the warmth. She finds herself pushed strongly to find the materialistic aspect, to eat and to drink, to put the clothes, to find an apartment, to continue her studies, to many, many demands. So she will be deprived because of this forceful materialistic drive. She will be deprived from morality slowly. Many women who came to Islam know well what we are talking about, and they wish also for many like them from their former colleagues, neighbors, teachers, etc. Wish for them to find what they found in Islam, what the submission to Allah and to His revelation had gave them, from the peace and tranquility and content and respect and dignity. We will finally examine one thing in the Quran which has profound meanings concerning the nature, the unspoiled and pure nature of the woman. This is illustrated in the story of the encounter of Prophet Musa alayhi salam with two women as came in Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28 in the Quran, verses 23 and 24. قال الله تعالى ولما ورد ماء مدين وجد عليه أمة من الناس يسقون ووجد من دونهم امرأتين تذودان قال ما خطبكما قالتا لا نسقي حتى يصدر الرعاء وأبونا شيخ كبير فسقى لهما ثم تولى إلى الظل فقال ربي إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير. And when he, Musa, Moses, arrived at the water of Madian, this is the place, he found there a group of men watering their flocks, and besides them he found two women who were keeping back their flocks. He said, what is the matter with you? They said, we cannot water our flocks until the shepherds take their flocks, and our father is a very old man. So he watered their flocks for them. Then he turned back to shade and said, my lord, truly I am in need of whatever good that you bestow on me. These two verses tell us more than one aspect of the female nature which we should really observe. First, with respect to her work outside her home, we know the woman's nature. In nature, her nature is not in strength as that of the man, meaning it is weak, and she cannot compete with men in their works because of the nature of creation of each one of them. This is evident in the saying of these two women. They said, لا نسقي حتى يصدر الرعاء. They said, we cannot water our flocks until the shepherds take their flocks. And assuming if a woman is able to do a certain particular work, then it's still in presence of men, she may be vulnerable to being mocked or her emotions abused. The case is more asserted when her she was not with her covering, with her hijab. Secondly, that the woman goes for the work outside her home when there is a necessity. Like, for example, when there is no guardian supporting and providing and would carry this work. This is evident in the saying when they said, and our father is a very old man. وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ And our father is a very old man. Meaning we don't have a man to do the work for us. Our man is old. And so he is not fit to carry on this work. And that's what led us to do it. Is that clear? Is that clear? In addition, as we mentioned, if the necessity requires that, then there are means and regulations and a way to do, and manners and etiquettes when she needs to go out. It is not just something without any kind of regulation, as we discussed earlier. But if she needs to, then she must be in a manner that preserve herself and her dignity. The dress, the code, the talk, etc. This is also evident in this story. قال الله تعالى ولما ورد ماء مدين وجد عليه أمة من الناس يسقون. Look what he said. Allah, and when he arrived at the water of Madian, he found there a group of men watering, and besides them he found two women who were keeping back, meaning they kept their flock back, lest it will mingle with those of the men. You see that? Is that also evident to you? They kept their flock back so that they don't end up then, you know, after mixing with those of the men, they come down to deal with the men and so forth. They kept back. So when Musa saw them, he felt, you know, inclined to help, had some kindness towards that, and he said, مَا خَطْبُكُمَا? What's the matter with you? Why you are keeping alone? You don't take the flock with the rest of men. قَالَتَا لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُصْدِرَ الرِّعَاءَ. They said, look, we cannot water our flocks until the shepherds take their flocks. Meaning, we don't have the power to compete. Is that clear? They are on their nature, the pure nature. And they made clear that they did not leave the home and go for the watering, you know. Only it was because their father was an old man. So it was from the honor of Musa and his great character as a prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he watered for them. Also, contemplate another thing. When their father sent one of them to invite Musa to meet him, she went out with complete bashfulness and dignity. فجاءته إحداهما تمشي على استحياء. One of them came to him walking, what? With shyness and bashfulness. This is the walk of the chaste woman who is not accustomed to be with men and mixing with them or talking to them. Umar, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, جاءت تمشي على استحياء. She came walking with shyness, bashfulness, with bashfulness. قال قائلة بثوبها على وجهها, putting her thawb on her face. ليست بسلفع من النساء واللاجة الخراجة. She was not out of the kind of woman who was aggressive and keep going out. Also take another etiquette. When she said, قالت إن أبي يدعوك ليجزيك أجر ما سقيت لنا. My father invites you to reward you for that which you did in watering our flocks. In this statement, she didn't ask him absolutely. She said, our father invites you. Lest this may lead to a kind of doubt. So she referred the invitation to whom? To her father. She didn't say, for example, تعال لنزيك, come so that we reward you. Or come so that my father reward you. She said, إن أبي يدعوك. Are you following? My father invites you. This is bashfulness. This is dignity. Also consider when she said also, Ya abati istajirhu. Oh my father, hire him. Listen now what she said. Inna khayra man istajarta. The best who you hire is al-qawiyyul amin. The strong and the trustworthy. She didn't say istajirhu, hire him because he is trustworthy and strong. This is again bashfulness from specification. Etiquette. Also, what is fitting for a person, a man of dignity, is to suffice the woman from doing the works which will lead them to mixing with women or which will humiliate their dignity if they are unable to do these works. Don't you see that Musa alayhi salam carried on the works of these two women and did not make them wait until the men leave, etc., or to carry the task themselves? Rather, he did that for them. So the origin is that the woman is to be served and to be sufficient. As to the earning and seeking the provision, this is the task of the men. These are some of the benefits from this story of Musa alayhi salam with these two women. And the final word is, we should not be seduced by the contemporary materialistic based quote-unquote civilization. What we have from Islam is sufficient. The person should only exert the effort and have the good intention, sincere for Allah, and to ask Allah to guide him to carry the tasks that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in this there is man's salvation, men and women. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enlighten us concerning the compliance to his deen and to preserve us from all fitan, the apparent and the hidden. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا